because this book is inspired. This is a hymn book. And when we open it, we look for him. As I said before, sometimes we open it, we might bump into Goliath, but we'll say, excuse me, I'm looking for him. We might find Abraham, that great friend of God, and it's so great to read about Abraham, but I say, excuse me, nice to meet you, but I'm looking for him. This is the hymn book. We might be like those wise men of old who somehow find our way to Jerusalem after following the little star and find a false king named Herod sitting on the throne, and we say, excuse me, but we're looking for him. That's what it's all about. And when I open this book, I look for him. And so this morning, would you please open your hymn books with me to Psalm 139, and let's look for him in this wonderful hymn book. I'll read the entire psalm. It's lengthy, but follow along and ask God to bless your heart as we read his precious word. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness as the light and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more than the number of the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou shalt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, would you please bless and honor thy word this morning as we look into this perfect law of liberty. May it minister grace to every hearer. If there's someone in our midst who knows not the Lord Jesus Christ and the joy of sins forgiven, may they see themselves being in jeopardy, and may they turn in repentance and faith to the only Savior. And I pray for every child of God that we might be encouraged and challenged, encouraged and edified as we look at thy living word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe in the God of the Bible, and I believe that you do as well. The world is not without many who claim to know God and believe in God. But I believe in the God of the Bible. And here in this hymn book, we read about him. There are those today that claim to know God, And by their actions and attitudes, one would have to wonder if they have any idea or concept who God is. If they would know him, they must find him here in this book, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I am a little weary of people who are screaming into the microphones of jetliners just before they crash the planes into the ground, yelling at the top of their lungs, "God is great." I'm getting weary of people putting on dynamite and walking into marketplaces and declaring and screaming before they blow themselves and others to oblivion that God is great. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know God is great. You have but to wake up in the morning and see the sunrise and know God is great. You don't have to blow somebody up to make that point. We have but to look at the stars and the heavens, the multitude and the number of them, and know that God is great. You don't have to destroy somebody's home and life and livelihood in order to make that declaration. But I would like to go on record this morning by saying that, yes, God is great, but also God is good. And the world needs to know that God is good. Not only is he good, but he has entered into our own world, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, 2,000 years ago. He went about doing good. And everywhere he went, he touched a life, a place, a situation with his goodness. And I'm glad this morning to say that, yes, God is great, but he's also good. And he would never do anything wrong. And he would never do anything evil. And he is light, and there's no darkness in him. And there's a world out there who needs to know this good God that you and I worship, love, and serve. This psalm is about that God, and that's the God of the Bible. In verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 139, the Bible speaks of his omniscience. God knows everything. In verses 7 through 12, the Bible speaks of his omnipresence, that God is everywhere. Verses 13 through 18, if you look at it, we see God's omnipotence, his strength and his mighty power. In verses 19 through 24, we see that God is omni-righteous. On another scale, the scale of David, who wasn't big on theological expressions and terms, in the plain language of the everyday life and living, we look at this Bible and we see that God is personal, that God is present, that God is powerful, and God is pure. God is personal. God is present. God is powerful. And God is pure. What does it mean to you to know that God is omniscient, that God knows everything? What does that mean, that God knows everything? Does that mean that God has a high IQ? Does that mean that God knows all of the answers to trivial pursuit? What does that mean to you personally, that God is all-knowing? It means he knows everything about everything. Everything about physics and everything about mathematics and everything about chemistry and geology and physiology and genetics. God knows everything. He knows the trajectory of a falling star. He knows the candle power of a firefly and the gestation period of a daffodil. He knows the half-life of uranium and the shelf life of a loaf of bread. God knows the weight of the world, and he knows the weight of the world when it's measured on the scale of your heart, and you feel like you're carrying it inside of you. God knows everything. He knows when the sun rises, and he knows when the sparrow falls. God knows everything. And more importantly, this morning I want you to know that God knows you. God knows everything about you. Not only does He know everything about you, He notices you. And not only does He notice you, He never takes His eyes off you. You are the subject of His attention this morning. Many times we come to a place like this and we sit in the pew and somebody stands at a platform before a microphone and everybody's attention is on them. But that's not what this is all about. The truth of the matter is God has His eye on you this morning. And God wants to do something in you this morning. You have God's complete and full attention. Now, I don't know how God does that. But you are center stage in the eyes and in the heart and in the mind of God this morning because God is omniscient and He knows everything about you. And I want you to know, not only do you have God's attention, but that you matter to God. There are people in this world that for one reason or another do not feel important. And so they do things to be noticed. They act up in class just to be noticed. Even if they have to be sent to the principal's office, that's okay. It's better than not being noticed. And so they will do things in order to be noticed. And some will wear outlandish clothing in order to be noticed. Some will ride down the street on their bicycle with no hands, just to be noticed. And although they don't see it, they're screaming at the top of their lungs, so to speak, saying, "Look at me, no hands." And the little boys and girls sitting in the front yard go, "Wow, look at that." Everyone wants to be noticed. No one wants to come into this world to live and to die and no one ever know that they were here. Well, I want you to know this morning that not only does God know you're here, God put you here. And you have His full attention this morning. You matter to God. God loves you. God cares about you. God sent His Son to die for you, to save you, to redeem you. You matter to God. God is omniscient. According to the Psalm of David here in 139, we see that this omniscient God knows some things. In verse number 1, we see that He knows our works. And in verse 3, we see that He knows our ways. And in verse 4, we see that He knows our words. And in verse 2, again, we see that He knows our wishes. God knows all about us. The first thing I want to remind you of this morning about this God, the God that we bow before, the God that we worship, the God that we serve, the God that we're reading about today, the God that knows everything, this God knows your works. No good deed goes unnoticed. He knows your works. You helped that neighbor. You cut his grass when he was in the hospital. You didn't put an advertisement in the paper to let everybody know it. As a matter of fact, nobody knew it. But God knew it. You did that thing. You did that kind thing. You did it for the glory of God. And the Bible tells us that God knows our works. You gave that cup of cold water to that laborer that was thirsty in your backyard as he was working, cutting the shrubs or carrying away those things, and your heart was moved for him, and you cared, and you went out with a cup of cold water. He said, even though he might even be an illegal, he's thirsty, and you cared for him. And you know what? No one saw that except God. And I believe with all of my heart, when it's all over and we stand before God in judgment, as Matthew chapter 25 says, that these things will come out once again for all of us to see. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13 says, "And their works shall follow them." That's speaking about accountability and judgment. You did that kind thing. You did that gracious thing. You did that generous thing. You did that just thing. You did that loving thing. You gave somebody a glass of cold water, and you forgot all about it. But I want to tell you this morning, because maybe no one else will, I want to remind you that God took notice. And that was important to some thirsty laborer that nobody cared about. And I believe that on that day when we stand before God and see these things once again, we'll hear the voice of the Lord Jesus say, "When I was thirsty, you gave me drink." And somebody will scratch their head and say, "When did I ever see you and give you drink? You remember that one in the back working, cutting the brush on that hot summer day? The one that everybody else passed by and cared little about and maybe even cursed and condemned and said they should go back to where they came from. You know that person? You know that person that you had compassion for and gave the cup of cold water to? "When did I see thee thirsty, Lord, and give thee the drink?" You see, if we recognized him, everybody would line up at the water cooler trying to fill up glasses of water for him. And so he comes disguised. 2,000 years ago, he came disguised as a servant. He was born and laid in a manger, and everybody thought he was nobody. He came disguised as a peasant, and he was a king. He was the creator of all of the universe, and he walked our dusty streets, and there were some who reached out in kindness, and the Lord Jesus noticed, and he said, "They that treat the least of these have done it unto me." Wow. And I'm here this morning worshiping a God who notices everything. He knows your good works. He knows everything that you've done. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 1, we see all the wealthy and the rich coming into the temple and giving their offerings. But all of the attention of God is on one widow woman who comes with her two mites. And as they plunk down in the offering box, they make such a rattle and such a noise that they echo through the courts of heaven, and God Almighty leans over and looks. He says, the Lord Jesus says, that others gave out of their wealth and prosperity and abundance. But this woman, she gave her all. And I don't think that she asked for a tax deduction receipt. I believe that the Lord of glory made a record of that in the eternal Word of God so that you and I would marvel how that God notices everything. That's the omniscient God that I know. That's the omniscient God that I bow before and worship. He knows your good works. He knows everything. You taught that Sunday school, even though there were only 3 students. Others quit, dropped off, faded away, because there was really no glory in that. It was not spectacular. They were looking for some other place where maybe there would be a marquee or a billboard with their name on it. But you were faithful, and nobody even noticed. I'm here to tell you this morning that God noticed, because he's omniscient and he knows everything, and he knows your good works. He knows what you did. Well, we're not saved by works. Somebody might be uncomfortable this morning talking about good works. Evangelicals, for some reason, want to run away from good works. My Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Somebody says we're supposed to glorify God. Well, how, pray, do you do that? How do you glorify God? Jesus said, "By your good works, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That's how we glorify God. No, you can't get to heaven by your good works. But I'm here to remind us all this morning that God Almighty is glorified by our good works, and you and I would do well to remember that and set our hands to the task of glorifying God, the omniscient God. Knows our works. Second, the Bible says that the Lord knows our ways. If you look at verse 3, Thou compassest my path, my lying down, Thou art acquainted with all of my ways. The second thing that this omniscient God knows is He knows our ways. I've been married to Yvette for 34 years, I think. Maybe 33 or 34 years, she'll tell me. And she knows my ways. She knows what I like and what I don't like. She wouldn't think about putting cream in my coffee. She wouldn't think about adding sugar because she knows my ways and I like it black. Why mess up a good thing? You live with somebody long enough and you know their ways. And that's the way it is at your house and between your wife and yourself and between your husband and yourself, you know them and you know their ways. You can go someplace and stand and never say a word, but just look at each other and both of you know what you're thinking. And somebody's trying to sell you something or pull the wool over your eyes, and you both know you're standing in the presence of an idiot, but you won't say it. And you just kind of look at each other and you both know what you're thinking because you know your ways. And you know if your partner is a night person or a day person. Maybe their best ideas come at night, and you're prepared to be disturbed in the middle of night as the little lamp gets turned on and somebody gets out a pad and a pencil. You know their way. That's the way they are. Or maybe you're a morning person and you have to get up before the crack of dawn and you're out, and that's your way. Well, God knows your ways. He knows all about you. He knows not only what you like in your coffee, but He knows what excites you and what thrills you and what gives you joy and pleasure. God knows your ways. When I sit down and when I rise up, He knows if you're a neat Nick or you're one of those sloppy people. God knows all about it. He knows your habits and He knows your idiosyncrasy. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all of my ways. There are right ways and there are wrong ways. John the Baptist proclaimed that we are to declare the coming of the King and to make straight His ways. There's a straight way, and God wants you to know it. In James chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And if that's you, God knows that as well. He wants you to be single-hearted and focused on Him. In Jude verse 11, the Bible speaks of the way of Cain. In James chapter 5 and verse 20, a way of error. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways. We all have our ways. And some of our ways are not so good. And you might even be visiting here this morning, and I want you to know that God knows that. He knows which way you're going and where you came from. He knows all about you because He's omniscient. He knows your works. He knows your ways. He also knows your words. In verse 4, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. He knows your words. He knows what you said. Even though you put your hand over your mouth and whispered it in your friend's ear, and nobody else heard it, God heard it. He knows all of your words. He knows what you said. He also knows what you meant to say. Because sometimes we say something, but that's not what we meant to say. And there's no way to go back and fix that. There's no way to go back and erase that. If you could, you'd never get everybody in the same room again and recapture the moment. You didn't mean to say that. You meant to say something else, but it didn't come out that way. But it's too late. I'm glad to say this morning that we worship an omniscient God who knows not only what we said, but he also knows what we meant to say. Isn't that wonderful? And sometimes we come to him, as the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, and we get on our knees and we don't know what to say. And sometimes we might even say the wrong thing, and God Almighty knows. And the Holy Spirit straightens it out and sometimes interprets it and says, this is what he means. This is what he meant to say. Sometimes we are misunderstood. And we just can't go back and explain ourselves. But that's okay. God knows. And we can but pray with the psalmist in Psalm 19 and verse 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. He knows your words. Number four, he knows our wishes. Take a look at verse 2. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He knows your wishes. He understands your thought afar off. Henry Ward Beecher said, a man's mind is like a beehive. We can see the bees going in, but we don't know what they're doing once they're in there. And I can speak a word, but I don't know what's doing inside your head after I spoke it. There's all kinds of thoughts bouncing around in your head right now. And there are dreams, and there are wishes. And there are hopes, and they're flying around in your head. And I'm here to say that God knows. Number five, God also knows all of your wounds. He knows all of your wounds. There are two kinds of people that I've met in life. There are those that always talk about their wounds, and there are those who never talk about their wounds. And that's the way it is. Some people will pull up their shirt and show you the thing even though you don't want to see it. That's what they do. They have to tell you. And they'll show everybody that'll look. And there are others who have been through some of the most difficult and awful experiences, and they never speak a word about their wounds. But either way, I want you to know that God knows your wounds. And there's somebody here this morning and you're wounded. You can't show us the wound physically. It's in your heart. And it's perhaps deep, and it's maybe even not even healed yet. But I want you to know that God knows. God knows your wounds. But I want you to know that he was wounded, and he knows what it's like to be wounded. He also knows your worries. There's somebody sitting here this morning, and you're worried about something. I don't know what it is, but God does. And I want you to know that there's a God in glory who is omniscient. He knows everything. And more than that, not only does he know everything, and that's omniscience, he's omnipotent. He can do something. There are lots of us that if you told us and we knew, we would sympathize with you. We would empathize with you, but we couldn't do anything for you because we don't have the power. So what good would it really be for us to know? But God knows. And not only does God know the one who is omniscient, but he's also omnipotent. He's able because he has the power to fix it. And sometimes he doesn't want to work on the circumstance or the situation. Sometimes he does that in order to work on you or to work on me. As we heard about the refiner's fire this morning, Jack. Thank you. God knows your wounds. God knows your worries. I've read the psalm so many times, and it's such a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful psalm. And I wonder, why didn't he stop at verse 18? He was doing so wonderfully. It was all positive, and then all of a sudden it goes downhill from there. Because he also knows our wickedness. He knows your sin. He knows my sin. Every sin, every sin. Every single sin. He knows everything. I would have you call, I would call your attention this morning to that sin and tell you that that's your greatest problem. And God is the only one that can fix it. 2,000 years ago, he sent his son into this world, the all-knowing one, the all-powerful one, the everywhere present one. He came into this world to fix your sin problem. And you're here this morning, and God is watching you. He is focused on you and on your wounds and on your ways and on your works and on your words and on your wishes and on your worries and on your wickedness. And he sent his son to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, I didn't tell you anything you didn't know. You say, Ingomar, I know that God knows everything. I know that God is all-powerful. I know that God is everywhere present. I know that God knows my wickedness. Ah. It's not enough to know that God knows everything. God wants you to know him. He knows everything. That goes without saying. But do you know him? And the only way you can know him is to know Jesus Christ, who he sent into this world to save you. Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. He's omniscient. He knows everything. But he wants you to know him. He's all-powerful. He's omnipotent. That's one thing to know. He wants you to need him. He wants you to come to the place in your life where you need his power, his omnipotence. Is there anybody here like that this morning? Or is there somebody here who says, well, I just don't need him anymore. I'm okay, thank you very much. I need him. I need his power. I need his omnipotence. I need him to work in my life. He knows your works. But do you know his works? He knows your words. But do you know his words? He knows your wounds. But do you know that he was wounded for your transgressions? He knows your ways. Do you know his ways? He wants you to know him. He wants you to need him. He's everywhere present. But he still wants you to want him to be near. Don't try to flee from his presence. Even in the bottom of the sea, it's futile. He wants you to want him to be near. And this morning you can cry out with a simple prayer sitting in your pew. Lord, I know you're everywhere present, but I want you to be present in my heart. You can invite him in. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Why don't you open up your heart and your life? And let the everywhere present God come into your being and flood you with his presence and be near you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to need him. He wants you to be near him. But wait a minute, he knows your wickedness. That's why he wants to make you new. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Nobody needs to leave this place this morning still in their sins. He can make you a new person in a moment, in an instant. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. There's not a person in this room this morning that is an accident. You were made by God for God. You might have been a surprise to your mother and your father, but you were not a surprise to God. He made you for himself. And if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know that, I want you to know that today. Not only does God know you, he made you. and he made you for himself. Yes, this world is filled with chaos, and there are people from all different religious groups that are screaming one louder than the other, God is great. Well, we know that. Our God is greater than your God, and I'll kill you to prove it. No, we know a God that is great, but also a God that is good. And he's so good that he came down into this world to seek sinners like you and me and invites us to be with him and to enjoy him forever. And the world desperately needs to know this good God who sent the good shepherd to be our shepherd and to lead us one day into the Father's presence. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, why not let today be the day? Let this morning be the morning that you open up your heart and life and let this God, the God of the Bible, become the God of your heart, the God of your life, the God of your eternity. Do it today. Don't wait. Father, thank you for your word for Psalm 139. Thank you that one day you revealed yourself to all the world in love at Calvary. Thank you for the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for sinners such as we. And I pray if there is someone here in our midst who has never turned from sin and turned to the Savior, that they might do so today, even before it is too late. And may we go out from this place as ambassadors for Christ, declaring the goodness of a great and wonderful God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Good day, and God bless you.
Just before we part, if you'll turn to number 438, the first verse is actually taken just about from Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I'd like us to stand and sing the first two verses of number 438.